Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Tuesday, April the 8th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, villagers fear they'll be left without high-speed broadband. The Kent dad, who's raised thousands despite a terminal cancer diagnosis, and Gillingham look to extend their unbeaten run in League 2 tonight. But first, two men have gone on trial accused of murder after another man was stabbed through the heart during an attack in Canterbury. 23-year-old Sameer Gharezgahir, who was also known as Sammy or Jamil, died at the scene in a courtyard near the former Nason's department store in the city centre in October last year. Well, Lucy joins me now with more on this story. Lucy, can you tell us what's been heard in court?
Yes, so the jury's been told Mr. Gharezgahir, his girlfriend and two others had walked from their tent encampment near Canterbury East Railway Station towards the city centre on the night of October 10th. The prosecutor described how as they reached the courtyard at about 11:30 p.m, their paths crossed with the two defendants. It's claimed the pair threw glass bottles towards their feet. A row allegedly then broke out and two men armed themselves with blades that had been hidden under a planter. He added the deceased was stabbed with a knife which penetrated the heart and caused massive blood loss.
And what do we know about the two who are accused of the killing?
Mohammed Hagar is 32 and doesn't have a permanent address, while 24-year-old Kamal Ibrahim is from Longacre Close in the city. The prosecutor told the jury they'd arrived by train at Canterbury West Station on the evening of the attack. They're said to have walked through the high street and arrived outside Nason's at 10:50 p.m. The alleged victim's group arrived 41 minutes later.
And what happened following the attack, Lucy?
CCTV shows the defendants walking down the high street and turning off at Guildhall Street. They then walk back to the high street and head towards Stour Street. They then travel by taxi to a flat in Herne Bay and were arrested a short time after. Both men deny murder and the trial continues.
Lucy, thank you ever so much. You can read regular updates from that murder trial on the website.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a drunk dad from Ramsgate who attacked his sister after she warned him not to drive with his kids in the car has been locked up. Taylor Smith had been day drinking before he headbutted and punched his victim. He later racially abused a police officer after being arrested. The 25-year-old, who lives in St Mildred's Road in Ramsgate, has been sentenced to 14 months. Three men have been arrested as part of an investigation into alleged roofing fraud. They were detained in Deal, Sandwich and Ash. It relates to roofing work carried out at a property in Dover. Bomb disposal experts have been called to a village near Canterbury after a suspicious package was discovered. Homes had to be evacuated on North View in Hursden yesterday. Police say the item posed no risk to the public. A 37-year-old man remains in custody. A transgender pool champion from Faversham has launched legal action after being banned from playing against other women. Harriet Haynes is suing the English Blackball Pool Federation following a change in their eligibility criteria. The 35-year-old says it's left her unable to join the Kent Ladies team. The court case is ongoing. Now, people living in two Kent villages fear they could be left without high-speed Wi-Fi after a provider announced plans to pull out of the area. Trulitz confirmed a small number of customers on a copper network in Stansted and part of Fairseat will be affected. Well, Steve Bassey is a local resident and he's been speaking to Finn McDermott from our colleagues at KMTV about what it will mean to him.
It will make my life unbearable, to be frank. We would probably have to go to our office in London every day, which is a huge pain. One of the reasons we live in this beautiful place is we can work from home. We have a very low impact on global warming and everything else, but driving to London every day would be an absolute nightmare. And that's what we'd have to do because we have so much we have to do each day, and we have cameras, security, all sorts of things going on for our business.
And how would it affect the local village?
I think there's different things for different people. We have office units in the village attached to the local farm. Whether they'll still be able to rent their offices out, who knows. I know, for example, one person has been so worried by all of this. She went out last week and paid for one of those Elon Musk satellites to come, and it cost her close to £1,000, and then it's £90 a month just so she could carry on working from home and not be stressed about it. And then probably the local school in the village, they rely a lot on the internet, I'm sure, and it's devastating for everybody.
Well, Truly have told us they're working with Openreach, which manages broadband cables, to try and reach a solution.
Kent Online reports.
Kent Police have released an eFit image of a man who exposed himself to a woman in Tankerton. Officers say he targeted his victim in Marine Parade at around midday on March the 21st. We've shared the picture via our socials. A driver has narrowly avoided injury after a ladder fell off a moving van through the windscreen of another vehicle in Maidstone. The victim was driving around a bend on Yalding Hill at around 7:30 last Friday morning when it happened. The force of it snapped his steering wheel. He didn't suffer any serious injury. The van sped away and an investigation's now underway to identify the driver. Plans to remove the masts from a Second World War bomb ship off the coast of Sheppey have been delayed again. The SS Richard Montgomery sank in 1944 and still has explosives on board. In 2020, plans were put forward to remove the masts to take the strain off the cargo hold. Last April, the Department for Transport said the work would be done within 12 months, but so far nothing's happened. There's been no reason given for the latest delay. Now, a Kent dad who's raised tens of thousands of pounds for charity after being diagnosed with terminal prostate cancer has won a top award. Paul Dennington has taken part in various challenges and was recognised at the Pride in Medway event. His latest campaign will see him walk 25 million steps on a month-long journey from Newcastle to Medway. Well, his son Joseph picked up the prize on his behalf and I chatted to him following the awards ceremony.
My name is Joseph and my dad is Paul Dennington. He was diagnosed with terminal prostate cancer 4 years ago, around this month actually, 4 years ago. And ever since the day he got diagnosed, his whole inspiration and his motivation for his life has been about fundraising. It hasn't changed and it always has been, and it gets bigger and bigger and crazier and wilder leading up to, you know, his next venture, which is this walk through life. Just insane to do, absolutely insane.
Obviously you knew he'd been nominated for a Pride in Medway award. He kept it very secret that he was the overall winner. Talk us through your emotions when you found out this evening.
I went through every single emotion you can physically imagine, from the surprise through to anger that he didn't tell me and he knew this whole time and told me not to prepare anything. But the overall feeling is just pride. I'm so proud of him. I'm so proud of everything that he does for Medway, for prostate cancer, for every cause. He will fight it and he'll back it, and he has everyone's best interest at heart. And you know, I think that encapsulates the pride of Medway, which is why I'm just so elated for him.
And he'd even managed to record a wonderful video, which again you knew nothing about, but I mean, such an important message as well about the fact there is no screening at the moment, and we do all need to raise awareness and perhaps encourage men who may be a little bit reluctant to go to a GP. And have you been like kind of surprised by how your dad has taken this on and said, right, I need to really achieve something here?
I think the thing that's surprising to me is the response. It's not what he's done. You know, for me, when he told me that he had the cancer, the immediate thing he told me afterwards was everything that he was going to do. He is a fighter. Which is why I think he's still going so strong today. I mean, he was given 5 to 8 years, I believe was his prognosis. And we're obviously at the 4 year mark now, and he looks healthier than he's ever been in his whole life. His fight for the screening, his fight for more awareness, was always gonna happen. It was always gonna be an inspiration for him. It's given him such a real sense of purpose to his life. But the thing that I think is the most surprising is the outpouring of love and community and support from all our friends, our family, from every single stranger who hears the story, who meets him and learns of what an incredible man he is. That's what's really surprising and really heartwarming to get to see.
And tell us again a bit about this walk that he's doing. I mean, the rest of us wouldn't even dream of doing something like that.
I think he's doing more steps across like 30-something days than I will probably do in my whole entire lifetime. He is starting, it's called his Walk Through Life. He's starting in Newcastle where he was born, and he's going through every school, every hospital, house that he's lived in, city that he's visited when he was growing up, every job that he worked at, every football club he's been to, every cricket club he's been to. And he's going to walk all the way from Newcastle down, out and around the whole of the UK, finishing in Medway, where we have lived for the past 26 years.
Well, it was absolutely fantastic to meet Joseph following the awards on Friday night. Thanks ever so much for chatting to me, and a huge congratulations to Paul and indeed all of the other finalists.
Kent Online reports.
Three fire engines have been sent to tackle an industrial blaze near Dover. Crews spent more than an hour putting out the flames in Athorne yesterday evening. We're told no one was hurt, and it's unclear how it started. Kent County Council has backed down on plans to redesignate seven special schools in order to save money. Local bosses wanted the sites to accommodate children with complex needs as a way of streamlining the system. But the Kent Special Education Needs Trust called the scheme deeply flawed. It's now been confirmed the plans have been scrapped. There's likely to be more disruption for drivers in part of Maidstone as five-month-long roadworks are running behind schedule. Engineers are working to replace gas pipes on Sandling Lane as part of a larger 28-week project in Pennenden Heath. It'll see the rolling closures throughout the area until the end of July. Bosses in Dartford have suspended all non-emergency social housing repairs after one of their maintenance contractors went into administration. The council say the contract with Breyer Group has ended and plans are in place to get services back to normal. Tenants received a text last week saying only urgent problems will be dealt with. Now, next today, we can hear from some Kent property developers who've been talking to the podcast about how they're setting out to level up the shared accommodation game. Aaron Prowse and Ellis O'Sullivan currently have nine so-called HMOs in Medway and Gravesend and are in the process of buying another four with two more in construction. But these are houses with a difference, with 65-inch TVs, rooms with gold finishes and perfect bathroom-to-bedroom ratios. Ellis and Aaron have been speaking to reporter Ellie Hodgson about what it takes to provide quality accommodation.
So our company is called A&E Property, and what we produce is high-quality HMO accommodation. We aim for the luxury end of the market, so we have the highest quality in the whole area. We just want to provide the best accommodation that we can.
What sets your accommodation apart from other sort of HMOs that people sort of have in their head when they hear that word?
So I think a lot of people have the idea of bedsits, really poor accommodation. Ours goes above and beyond. So we'll have 65-inch TVs. I mean, we've got a gym, a cinema room. We really do go above and beyond for our customers.
And how are you hoping to sort of change that perception through your services?
So as we improve our product, the competitors in the area will see it, and then over time the quality goes up.
And what sort of people are you hoping to attract? What is your customer base really?
So our customer base is the professional market, nurses, carers, professional market.
And how do you sort of select or allow just professionals to come in? Do you have to like vet them? How does it work in terms of who you choose actually to come in, and it's going to be your, is it a tenant, or do you sell the properties and then they become tenants?
So we'll advertise the room on sites such as spare room. Yeah. We'll get inquiries come through. We'll have some pre-selected questions to ask them, and just making sure that they can afford the accommodation and stuff like that. And then they'll come and do a viewing, and then based on how that viewing goes, if you think that that'll be a great fit for the house, then we'll ask them if they would like to apply.
Final question on camera: what is the vision for the business at the moment? Are you mainly in Medway area? Do you have sort of plans to expand?
Yeah, so we're in Medway. We are also in Gravesend too. We may potentially touch on Maidstone, but that's not certain yet. But we do intend to try and bring this quality to also the buy-to-let market eventually. And and broaden our horizons that way.
Kent Online News.
There's been criticism of plans to build a collection of polytunnels near Maidstone. They're used for growing strawberries, and Charlton Farms has submitted an application to cover 55 acres of land with them on Greensand Ridge at Charles Sutton. The parish council say the scale of the proposal is completely unacceptable. A restaurant in Ashford Town Centre has closed down after just 5 months following a 2-star hygiene rating. Customers at DJB Smokehouse had also complained of food running out on Mother's Day. The business has since been put on the market, with health reasons listed as the reason for the sale. A shop owner in Canterbury says he's getting ready to retire after 55 years in the business. This is actually one of our most read stories on the website today. Bill Christopher set up Saracen's Lantern at No. 9 Borough after buying the site for around £3,000. The antique shop has since become a much-loved local landmark, but 79-year-old Bill says it's time to wind down. And finally, a Kent chocolate company has created the UK's biggest and heaviest Easter egg. It's 7 feet tall and weighs in at a whopping 300 kilograms, which is the same as a polar bear. The egg will be made into smaller chocolate bars, with some of the profits going to local charities. Well, Darren Litton is the founder of Cocoba and has been speaking to Finn from our colleagues at KMTV from their factory in Medway.
Here at Cocoba Chocolate, we always like pride ourselves on the quality of our chocolate. And we decided what better way to portray that to the customers using, like, you know, as much chocolate as we can in Easter egg. So we launched, I think, about 5 years ago, a 2-kilogram Easter egg. And a couple of years ago, we launched our 4-kilogram Easter egg, which we send out to customers at Easter. And basically our customers are like, oh, can you go bigger? So we thought, why not go really big? So we went as large as we could, and we decided to go for 300 kilos. So we decided to go for as tall as we could physically fit in the factory. So,
and tell me a bit about the process of making it. How was that?
So we have a mold made for us, and then we basically, normally with an Easter egg, you fill the mold with a hollow mold with chocolate, you put it on a spinning machine, and it just like rotates around. Obviously, you can't quite do that with an egg this size. So we decided to get a mold made for us, which was basically almost looks like a bathtub is probably the best way to describe it. And then just like basically filling it by hand and using tools to just get the thickness of the chocolate even all the way around. We made one half, then made the other half, and then basically glued them together.
Amazing. And it took a couple of attempts, right?
It did, yeah. The first one did not go as planned and cracked and didn't really work, but luckily it's chocolate. We can melt it, we can use it again. So then again, we did it the next time, and you know, a lot more people involved. It's not easy getting 150 kilogram half of each Easter egg together to make your 300 kilogram Easter egg. And eventually we got it right and got it there. So,
amazing.
Yeah.
And tell me a bit about what's going to happen to the egg after Easter.
So after Easter, it's obviously 300 kilograms is probably a little bit too much chocolate for a family to eat. So we were thinking of, you know, do we raffle it off for charity? But then we figured, well, what are people going to do with it when they get it? So instead, after Easter, we're going to be melting the Easter egg down. And we're going to make a limited edition product that we're going to sell to customers. And then part of those proceeds will go to charity.
Kent Online Sports.
Football and Gillingham are on the road again tonight as they take on Chesterfield. It's a quick turnaround for the Gills, who secured a point at Salford City on Saturday, with that game ending in a 2-2 draw. Well, manager Gareth Ainsworth is looking still for his first win in charge, but isn't fazed about another away game.
I'm hoping an improvement means, look, they really know what it takes now. There's some organisational issues when restarts. I need to get better at that. There's some midfield rotations we need to deal with. Definitely there's some, you know, there's some forward play that we want to get better at. But I'm hoping they just see that the boys are, I don't want to say caring more, because, you know, I have massive respect to the manager before me, but I have this thing that we talk about it. We talk about what it would mean for a fan to be playing out there. Go out and play like a fan's wearing that shirt. Go out and give absolutely everything and empty that tank. And you know, when I spoke to Brad and Shannon when we came in at the start, this is one of my non-negotiables as well as some leaders coming out and emerging. I think it's going to take time, but initial things are really good. You know, unbeaten after three is good, but we haven't won after three as well, so I need to look at that. But you know, it's only been 9 days, and I'm really pleased with where we are. Staff are right with me, which is brilliant. You know, I speak to Brad on a regular basis. You know, he's really, really sort of invested in the club and how it's going and how he can help more, you know. And that's brilliant as well, to have that support. You know, he's saying anything you need, Gareth, you know. And I'm not going to say £5 million. That's not fair. We have a way of doing things, and we'll stick to that, definitely. That was the directive. But he is, right behind this club, really, really invested in what we're doing. And you know, I'll speak to him later, and he'll be well pleased we've got a point away from home because he knows what it means. But tough second half, but the lads stood up well. Really looking forward to getting stuck into Chesterfield on Tuesday. Like I say, the plan is this 2-year journey that we all want to go on and be in a much better place than we are right now. I want to deliver that, and I've got good people behind me, good people with me, looking forward to this journey.
Kick-off tonight is at 7:45, and staying with football, England will have to be without Maidstone's Alessia Russo in their Women's Nations League match against Belgium tonight. The strikers picked up an injury after playing 73 minutes of her game against the same opponents last week. The Lionesses won 5-0 and are currently top of their group. Kick-off in that one is at 7:30. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget to follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, or one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.